Hello and welcome to Freedom Revamp, the podcast. It's your host, Deshaun, and I have the wonderful pleasure of being joined by Miss Monique Perskin. Say hello to everyone.
Hello, how are you?
She is an entrepreneur, an author, and a graphic designer. Truly a Renaissance woman, and it is a pleasure to be able to speak with her today. Before we get started, as usual, Monique, we would love for you to share with everyone, what is your definition of freedom?
Yes, ma'am. Well, my definition of freedom is definitely being free in Christ. I believe that in the multitude of different ways of trying to find freedom for me, I was looking for that financially and mentally through worldly aspects as far as like, you know, counseling, also, you know, just being in a state of like joy and things of that nature of what I thought would be found in the things of the world. But what I came to find is that freedom is not found in anything other than Jesus Christ. And there was a lot of bondaging that I had on my mind as far as, you know, my mental state spiritually. And it wasn't until I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior that I became free. So freedom to me is being free in Christ from sin and ultimately accepting him as my Lord.
I totally agree with that. I'm also a believer. So to me, that's basically what I've told Courtney before. That's the only way I've ever truly felt free. We talk about freedom and the way in which we are able to practice that. One of the things that Courtney talks about is this idea of practicing freedom.
Yes, ma'am.
What are some ways in which you practice freedom on a daily or weekly basis?
Well, ultimately, just being that light that, you know, the scripture tells us to be is like, let your light so shine among men. You know, I think that ultimately practicing what the Lord has done in, while he was, you know, walking upon the earth and just in general, his actions as far as how he was and the things that he's done. I try daily to ensure that I'm working on becoming more like him and less like me. So practicing freedom for me is to look upon the scriptures and find what it means to be a child of God and really ultimately walk in, you know, exactly what the scripture is telling us to be versus what the world has taught me. Like, for example, let's just use this for example. Love, for example, I would look into the world to try to find the answer of what that meant. And I was looking in media, you know, like the media, like the music, yeah. You know, like when you're growing up, you're watching movies and TV shows, and those are really defining your definition of freedom. It's defining your definition of love and of other things that we may deal with on a daily basis. And what I've learned is that I had to completely come out of the bondage of the definitions of this world. And I believe that's what freedom is. And every day I'm working on just completely getting set free from all of the deception that I learned growing up.
I definitely agree. I think a lot of what we know freedom to be is based on society's definition, which oftentimes puts us in bondage because when we look at those things and we belittle ourselves or don't see ourselves fit, then we're bound by the standards of the world or whatever the case may be. But you mentioned something earlier when you were talking about your sense of freedom and how you find that in God. And he does set us free. He sets us free from all of these ideals and all of these practices that we've learned and helps us to unlearn them so that we can truly practice freedom in him.
Yes, ma'am. That's correct.
So I'm so excited to dive into what you have going on because so many great things you're doing. I was able to visit your website and take a peek at just a few of them. But what I would like for you to talk about right now is your website is titled The Beauty of Love.
Yes,
how did you come up with that?
Wow, it's interesting you asked that. So originally, not to take up too much time, I'm going to give you guys the short version. But back when, before I started graphic design and different things of that nature, I ultimately was trying to be a cosmetologist. I was actually in cosmetology school. And I had roughly about 3 months left. But what happened was, is I was thinking that that was what I wanted to do, but ultimately I was just looking for a paycheck and I was tired of being a server working in, you know, doing just dead end jobs basically. And so while I was in the school, I actually was introduced to a man of God who gave me a word because I was trying to come out with a salon called Spreading the Love of Beauty. Okay, that was the name that I wanted to come out with. And I was told by this man of God, who is now my husband, he told me that I need to change that to Spreading the Beauty of Love, which is so ironic because what actually happened with that is exactly what happened with my life. Like, I went from thinking it was all about beauty and, like, you know, cosmetology and thing like that, to realizing that everything was really about love, which is God. So it's the name came from that. And so now everything is up under that roof as far as spreading the beauty of love. And the full title of that, you know, the beauty of love is really short for spreading the beauty of the love of Christ. So ultimately what our goals are and what we strive to do is to spread the love of Christ, because if it wasn't for Christ's love, I don't know how I would made it to today to be able to talk with you. So I think it's amazing what Christ has done. And if I would have known sooner that there is a creator that loves me as an individual, I believe my life would have been totally different. And I just want to share that with so many others.
I love that. I think that the most important thing for us to do is to witness. And one thing that is important to me when it comes to the way in which I display myself on social media and things like that is transparency. And
yes, ma'am.
100% honest with those who are watching or have their eyes on my social media. Because for me, it's been a blessing to see others do it. And yes, I want to be a blessing by doing it myself. It does take a lot of courage, because like you mentioned too, when you talked about this idea of beauty and like thinking that it's all physical and that it has to do with the way in which we look, there's a lot of beauty that we show in our genuine personalities, being unapologetically ourselves, that people don't get to see. I made a joke with my friend the other day, like there's lots of people who bear it all on social media, and I like to get a different kind of naked on social media. Like, I want to take away all of the things that are not me and show you who I am, so that you can say, oh, that's me too, or oh, I love, you know, I see a light in you, what is that? And then I can then share and bear witness that it's not me that you're looking at, it's the God in me that you're looking at. So I think that's very important. Like I said before, I was able to take a look at your website, and one of the things that stuck out to me immediately, and I clicked on it and I looked over the page and I was like, oh my gosh, I have to talk to her about this. You have unfeigned love on there, and you reference 1 Peter 1:22.
Yes, ma'am.
And my goodness, I was like, this is so important for women and even young adult, like women specifically, and like I call it this not a midlife crisis, but a quarter life crisis. I'm 26, so you get to this point here where a lot of women are struggling with determining their purpose and seeing where they fit in the world, and also trying to acquire love or whatever the case may be,
right,
based on like societal views. And I love that you have this portion of your website that discusses that, mm-hmm, and helping women truly walk in their purpose was one of the sentences that it said.
Right.
And that was so important to me, because that's ultimately, you know, what we're placed for.
Right.
And I kind of want to talk to you about that. What is it that you, what brought you to creating that? And what is it that you intend to do with it?
Okay. Yeah. So to my point of how, you know, the name Spreading the Beauty of Love came about, I slightly hinted on the fact that I was looking for love in the world.
Yes.
And so ultimately, before I came to Christ, that was my ultimate goal. So just a backstory about who I am, and this is even touching multiple areas of the business, the homeschooling, and unfeigned love, which is women's encouragement. But ultimately, I was diagnosed with ADHD at the age of 8. I was also raped around that time as well as a young girl. So as time persists, my behavior began to change and multiple things happened, and the school system diagnosed me with ADHD. And what happened was that I was placed on Ritalin, and within a week span, I lost 10 pounds at the age of 8, would not eat. And my mother was concerned. So she went to the doctor, got upset, but still continued to place me on these different medications And so throughout time, I would go through a lot of depression as far as coming down from those medicines. They're actually very close to the strands of cocaine and different things like that. So there's a depression that comes with it when you're coming down from those drugs. So being drugged at such a young age, I did not know my identity. So as time persists in my life, through multiples of rejection, I didn't know my father growing up, different things like these, a lot of rejection, caused me to constantly seek for love in everything, right? I was just looking for love. Yeah. Like, where is love? Where can I find love? And how do I identify myself? So I began to join groups and be a part of the party scene and do drugs. And ultimately, I even dove into homosexuality for some time because I was so afraid of being with men because of the abuse that I began to think, oh, maybe I need to change the gender that I'm speaking to. But ultimately, what I found was is that it doesn't matter the gender, the age, the color, there is still abuse in different things and areas. Not to say they're in awe, but what I learned is that that was not the answer still. Yeah. So I came to a place where I cried out, and this was a day that I was actually just got done doing what they call Molly and drinking. And I was coming down from this stuff, and I was in my closet crying, and I was depressed because I was with a girl for about 4 years, and it was just not, it wasn't working. It was crazy. And so I cried out to the Lord for the first time and was just like, God, if you can hear me, I don't want to be with a woman. I want to be with a man, but I just don't know who. Like, every time I choose, it's the wrong one. I need you to choose for me. I give up. Like, I can't do this anymore. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. Shortly after, my life just totally took a 360. I had two jobs at the time. I was working at a Hooters and a Southern Grill place, catering as well, and then also going to cosmetology school. All of a sudden, everything just kind of left. You know, my car broke down. I got evicted from my house. It was just a lot of different stuff. And what looked to be getting worse was actually a benefit. God was taking those things that I did not need in my life anymore and replacing them with what He wanted me to have. Mm-hmm. So everything began to change. And so ultimately, through the multitude of just, you know, rejection after rejection and just searching and searching and like, where is the answer? Does it even exist in this world? Is love even real? I began on this journey. And anyway, when I got saved and accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, the veils began to came off, and He had to really cleanse me, and a lot of deliverance and a lot of hurts and pains had to be, you know, cleansed from me and from my mindset. And I'm still, you know, growing and things like that and healing from those things of the past. But what I've learned is that one day I was just like, God, what is love? You know, what is it? What is love? Why do you love me? You know, how do you love me as an individual when, you know, I'm nothing? You know what I'm saying? And so ultimately, God began to show me that love is not found in this world. The definition of love is not found here. And that's why I couldn't find it. Because then that scripture, God is love,
yeah,
came to me. And that's when God began to show and pull back that veil of, I am love. You see what I'm saying? God telling me, I am love. It's me that you're looking for.
I love it.
And so when you then see that, then you realize that you have to become the light. You know, you have to become light like God is light. And really be an example of God's love for us and share that with others. Love your neighbor. Once you see that God loves you, all you can do is now overpour that love into others. You see what I'm saying? And so the yes. scripture of 1 Peter 1:22 tells us we should have unfeigned love for the brethren. Unfeigned means love that is genuine. It's real. It's not fake. And so unfeigned comes from this whole journey of how God began to pull back the veil of my understanding of love. And so my heart's desire is to share this love that Christ has given me, because ultimately I believe everybody is looking for it and just don't know where to find it. Especially, like you said, women of our age group and younger, and just women in general. Like, you know, it really, I don't even think age can box it into a place, but I really believe that just women in general, even men as well, are looking for true love, and that is found in God. And so, I believe that the whole purpose of Unfeigned Love was placed on my heart so that I can share this story, do what we're doing right now, just share with others that you're not alone. And to the woman that's listening who just doesn't know what to do next, you know, just totally lost, I promise you that there is a cure, there is an answer. The world tries to tell us, you know, there's no cure, like you're just gonna have to stay medicated the rest of your life, but ultimately Christ is our cure. He heals, he delivers, he can, you know, make a blind man see. Like God has given us hope, and it's Jesus Christ. And so ultimately, Unfeigned Love is now a group. I also have a Facebook page. I kind of backed away from lives for a time period, but I do plan to pick that back up, where every Monday I go live at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and just talk about various topics that we deal with as women. And I really just want to be that community for women where it's not, there's no chaser, there's no, like, you know, hidden agenda. I'm not out, you know, to hurt you or anything like that. Like, I genuinely just want to have a community where we support one another in Christ and really just help cultivate that vision of walking a life with Christ.
I love it. Cause that was another thing I was going to touch on. When you get to the bottom of the page, it says to, like, join the sisterhood. And I think it's so important. Community is very important to me because I feel like ultimately it helps us to see the God in one another and to grow. Because it's almost impossible to do things alone. One thing that stuck out to me in devotion one time, I had Minister Sean Sanders say in his devotion, Jesus didn't even do it alone. He had disciples. So for us to think or to be ignorant enough to think that we could do this all by ourselves, that's oftentimes where we find ourselves experiencing the most temptation because we are alone and we're susceptible to the enemy. But when we have others to hold us accountable or to encourage us, that usually is what gets us through those hard times and the tests and trials.
Yeah, I ultimately believe that the biggest goal is to get to a place where it's just we're able to be alone with Christ and be okay with that, if that makes sense.
Yes.
The sense of, like, even if everybody were to forsake us, that we would be with Christ's love. You know what I'm saying? And that's one of the biggest things that I want to encourage others is to solely depend on Jesus Christ. Because, you know, people are so wishy-washy. You don't know what's going to happen today, the next day, or after that. And so ultimately, I believe that if I can just get people to Christ, if that makes sense, if I could just share my experience with just Christ alone, that I believe that so many people could be set free. Like, you don't have to be crying in a corner by yourself when everything is over and the smiles are done and you get home and you're alone and you face reality and you're in that spot. I want to talk to that person. I want to talk to that person who's in the position of hopelessness. And I think everybody can relate to that. I think even if we don't speak it, that we've been there before, you know? And I just, my heart goes out for those who just really need an answer. And I just wanted to share that I just really, I'm really hoping that, you know, I can spread as much of my story to people as possible. And help them with it, you know what I mean, in their own personal lives. So,
definitely, I greatly appreciate your vulnerability. I was not expecting for you to be so honest and genuine with us and share these things. And I'm so happy that you did, because someone is going to be blessed by it. There's someone who might have dealt with those things or is dealing with those things. The biggest thing that society does to us is try to make us feel alone in situations. So when people share in the way that you share with us today, it lends us a me too. It lends us a little less condemnation, because oftentimes we feel like, oh, you know, everything that I have going on, there is no way out. But to hear from someone who had those experiences and then found their way out and found their way with God, I think that's
amen.
Super important to hear, and I greatly appreciate you sharing those things with us.
Yes.
One of my other favorite things on your website was the ministry tab. I clicked on the ministry tab and immediately was like, oh my gosh, I'm in love. So let me share with the listeners what I found. So if you are to visit beautyoflove.co and you click on their ministry tab, they have scriptures over music. And I was in love. I am a music person. I love music. I have always loved music. Music is like, it's been the soundtrack to my life for as long as I can remember. I'm an actress, but I grew up doing theater, and most of the theater I did was musical theater. So music has always been really important to me. So to have you combine that with the word in a way that is so penetrable, like for people who listen to music every day and can click on this link and they can listen to these scriptures over music, that is a wonderful way to feed the soul.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of wanted to know how you guys came about the concept, and what has been the, what have you all been able to do with this scripture over music? Is it something that you just simply distribute through the website, or has it been something that you've used in ministry within a church, or on your own? What exactly have you done with it?
Well, actually, you know, my husband's in ministry. That's his website. Scriptureovermusic.com is his website. But he would have to answer some of those questions for you. Maybe sometime you could, you know, speak with him as well, or have him on the show. But
I love that.
One of the biggest things is we've added that so that people can feed on the word. And what I've learned personally, if I'm listening to scripture all day while I'm doing work, my mentality is different, because, you know, you're meditating on the word. You're focused on what God is saying versus what your mind is saying or what others may be saying, right? And so ultimately we have that resource there as well, and you guys can check it out anytime. But I would love for, you know, him to speak with you guys about, you know, his journey on how he got there, because it's such an amazing story, and I would love for you guys to hear it from him.
I love it. I truly enjoy it. And I also wanted to talk to you about the homeschooling program as well, because I think right now, in, you know, in the midst of a pandemic, parents are losing their minds. And like reviewing that tab and seeing, finding the Instagram and seeing all of the tips that you guys are sharing on the page that are going to help them. I kind of want to know where this came about. Is it something that you practice yourself, or is it just something that you all are offering instruction on?
Yes, ma'am. Well, I actually homeschool myself. I have a child as well, and I homeschool. But ultimately, one of the biggest things of the reason behind the homeschooling is, you know, of course, God has led us to this place to provide the materials for children, because though something may be labeled like a children's material or safe for children, that doesn't necessarily mean it's spiritually safe for a child. So when it comes to just information as a whole, like we spoke earlier about finding the definition of love in the world, trying to give us that definition, just like they try to give us that, they also try to give our children information that may not be exactly what needs to be given to our child according to the scripture. And so one of the biggest things that I want to provide, because what I found in my own journey is even with children of color or just children in general, finding materials online for Christian children or just children in color, it's very hard. It is very hard to find those materials. And I find that it's sickening to me. And I honestly just am like, this is this way for a reason, because normally when you're very frustrated with a situation, you're like, why isn't anybody doing this? It's because you need to do something about it. And my husband shared that with me before. And ever since, I'm like, I have to provide this. I have to provide this. There's no more excuses. Like, I need to just get this out. And being a child that went to, you know, public schooling and was diagnosed with ADHD and this rejection I was receiving from them, I went through multiple consulting moments with the school system where they would constantly analyze my mind and my behavior and constantly tell me that I wasn't normal. I wasn't the norm, right? And so that rejection and then your parents agreeing with the rejection and then putting you on a medication has an effect greater than what may appear to be. And so ultimately, I want to have a resource for those children who are able to understand there is hope and that no matter what is going on, they have somebody they can call. And his name is Jesus. And he has the answer. He is the answer. And no matter what's going on, that, you know, if they pray and really seek God, that he will continue to guide them through no matter what it is. So I came out with a book. I'm actually an illustrator as well. For those of you who don't know, I make illustrations, digital art, which all started, I honestly loved art growing up, but I never knew I would be an illustrator. I never knew I would do graphic design, nor did I ever think once that I would ever have educational information for children, especially coming from someone who struggled so much in school. But I ultimately wanted to be that inspiration for those children who are told that they are incapable, that it is possible with Christ. All things are possible with Christ. So I just really want people to understand that, you know, Jesus Christ is the answer. So whether that's through the women's encouragement or growing your business or, you know, doing the homeschooling stuff. So the book essentially that I first came out with is called Coming Before the King. And one of my favorite books in the scripture is Esther. The book of Esther. And so Esther is a story that I believe many can relate to as far as being in a situation where it seems like you've come to death, right? And having God change it, having an answer come forth and just totally turn things around. And I just think it's so important for children to know it's not the end. There's so many people talk about, I've worked with a lot of nonprofits and different organizations who are pushing to have a, you know, I guess, support for children, especially in this time with everything going virtual and people be locked indoors, like the mental state of children in general, like having them to have hope in times like these where drastic changes are taking place and things like that, like the hope that children really need to be able to continue without having those suicidal thoughts or anything like that, because that is a real thing that children may deal with. Anxiety is real. Like those are things that, what I mean by real is like these are real issues that people are addressing or having, and ultimately the cure at the end of the day is Jesus Christ. And so I have a book called Coming Before the King. It's available on my website as well. And I do plan, I'm actually in the works of a new book that's going to be launching before the end of this year. So December 2020 is when I launch that. And then I also have other materials as well that are in the works because I'm doing homeschool in my own home. So I'm wanting to share all of the things that I've done with my own child, with the world, because I think it's so important to have a Christian standpoint on homeschooling, on how to raise our children in the light of Christ.
So, you know, we talked earlier about how you are an entrepreneur and also a graphic designer, and you are an author. So along with the writing of this book, I kind of wanted to talk to you about, you kind of talked about it a little bit briefly about, seeing something, a niche and something that, or basically finding something that was void and figuring out how to fill it. So do you think that that's what many of these businesses, how they came to you? Because you talked about not knowing, like, okay, I would have never thought that this is where would have been, but there's this idea that God knew. He had already had that in your plan. And these were all things that you were prepared to do because there were experiences that, you know, you might have lacked. So you knew how to fill that niche. So do you think that that's where the illustration and the writing of this book came from?
Yes, I do. I do think that that came from that place of just, I was needing a solution. I believe that's what you're saying, like needing a solution and then becoming the solution, rather. I believe that that is very true. And I'm even in the process of starting a movement, and I haven't really spoke much on this, but I believe that it's time to go ahead and speak it. But Advocate of Love is a movement, I believe, of bringing awareness to mental illnesses that children may be dealing with that I believe can be healed by the love of Christ. Mm-hmm. And so ultimately, exposing ADHD and the effects of the medicine, even just yesterday, right before we've had this, you know, interview, I was in a group for homeschooling, and there was parents asking questions about ADHD and things of that nature. And I was just expressing my experience, not opinion, but experience with ADHD. And being a voice, I realized that children will do whatever their parents tell them to do, but they ultimately may not voice out what's happening or may not even know what's happening mm-hmm. as far as internally and inside their minds while they're taking these medications. And so I want to be a voice for them. And so, yes, to your point, yes, I believe that most of the, well, everything, honestly, that came about was really God showing me the cure and then telling me, go share it with others, you know, go share what you've learned with others.
And aside from that book, you've also written another book. And we talked about this ministry earlier, Unfeigned Love. So I wanted to know, in the writing of that book, what were you trying to address, or what was that book in response to?
So ultimately, that was my testimony of how God changed my perspective of love in my personal life. It was a very vulnerable position to write that book. It took me a long time to even get all of it on paper and actually have the guts to publish it, if that makes sense. But what I found was that I was actually set free in the process of writing it. And that's another thing. I also provide services for people who are writing books. And I found that the struggles I was having is now something that I help others with. So I realized that I wasn't just going through it to go through it. Like, I went through it to now be an answer for others, if that makes sense. Yes,
definitely.
And so it had a purpose. That pain had purpose. That heartache had purpose. Those months and days of constantly trying to get the words on paper and struggling with what people may think about me. All of that had a purpose. And what really broke in that process was that this is who I am, and this is who I have to share to the world. You see what I'm saying? I have to share this. And it's so interesting you mentioned vulnerability, because it's needed. That authentic, you know who you authentically are is so important, especially in a world where people are all trying to be the same, if that makes
definitely.
Sense. So with writing the book, that was definitely addressing that time in my life where I believed that love was found in the world. And I think so many people can relate to that. So in the entire time I was thinking, I'm doing this for God, because God wants me to write this book. And it was just on me to write the book. And there were so many times where I had what's called, well, people could try to call it, label it writer's block. But I think ultimately it's just that spiritual battle of really just doing what God has told you to do, you know, and just doing it, you know. But in the process of doing it, it's almost like giving birth to a child. You know, it hurts to push a child out, but ultimately there is a purpose at the end of that. That is beautiful. That is amazing. And then you forget all about the pain, because now you have this beautiful child that you birthed. And I feel the same is with the book writing and the ministry stuff. And, you know, ultimately even the graphic design, every single person I come across is sent from God, honestly. And it ends up being concerning ministry every single time. And I just want to continue to do what God has placed in my hands to do, to help others, to serve others, to help them to get into a position where they're doing something that they were created to do versus just having a career or a job.
Definitely. I think your obedience is so important, especially when God gives you things like this that are not necessarily about you, but they're about others. But in the moment, they might seem like it's all about us. Sometimes that's where we usually try to combat things a little bit. It's like, God, I'm not capable of this, or God, why am I doing this? And he might not give you a direct answer, but it's in your obedience that you get the answer. Once you've done it and people are blessed by it, or people see God through it, then you know that this is why he told me to do this. Or this is why it was important that I do this. So I would just like to say thank you for your obedience in so many different areas. Like I mentioned earlier, you truly are a Renaissance woman, and there's so many ways in which you are able to honor God while helping others, from your graphic design to the homeschooling program to ministry to authoring and to even illustration, because that's something else that I didn't give a title of, but that's a task too. So thank you for your obedience in all those areas, and for the beauty that it has crafted in the beauty of love, ironically.
Amen, amen. All glory to God. I could not be here without him.
So in closing, I just kind of would like for you to share, you mentioned a little bit earlier about how you have a book coming in December, but what can we look forward to next from The Beauty of Love, and how can we make sure that we stay abreast of what you are doing?
So I would say stay tuned to my YouTube channel. If you're not sure how to navigate to that, you can just go to www.beautyoflove.co. There's no M at the end. If you just go to that website, you'll find all of my social media links as well as my YouTube channel, and be able to, you know, subscribe as well as subscribe to my website and be able to stay in touch with all of the things that we have coming, since there is so many areas that we address, but we plan to just continue to, you know, provide those materials in all the areas, whether that be graphic design, homeschooling, or the Unfeigned Love community of women encouragement. We plan to continue even with the ministry stuff, the scripture over music. And so if I were to put it in a nutshell, I would just say, we would just be posting, you know, materials for each individual need that we have on our site, and just continue to build those, you know, the content for each of them, so that people can have resources, blogs, things to read, things to inspire them, artwork, you know, other illustration books, even for children, to where ultimately this just be that one-stop shop where you can come and, you know, get the resources you need for what you may be doing as far as your family and your life goes, but at the same time, walking your life with Christ and really ultimately fine-tuning who you are as a person according to the Creator who's created you. So, yeah, but I really do appreciate you guys just tuning in and listening. Like, it takes a lot to share things for me because of just the series of things that's happened. But each time I feel such a release because I know that there's somebody that heard it that needed it. So really appreciate you guys.
I don't know if you knew this, but earlier in our conversation, I felt like you were truly a vessel and you spoke directly to me. Recently, I have been dealing with a lot of anxiety and depression. And it's been hard to find the light. And you specifically said that word earlier. And you talked about light. And that's something that has been a huge staple in my life, and thinking about light and how we talk about Christ coming as this light of the world. So I always think of myself as kind of a lantern, and it's important that I shine my light. Wow. And unfortunately, recently I felt like my light has been a little dim because I was struggling to keep it alive. But I definitely have been making upward strides and doing a lot better lately by finding that light and gaining that connection with the source of the light. So thank you for that, because that, again, that goes back to the importance of just being obedient and being vulnerable and being honest, because you have been a blessing to me. And I hope that our listeners were able to be blessed by what you have to say and what you have going on. I truly encourage all whom are listening to visit thebeautyoflove.co. There's no M on the end, and be blessed by all of the things that she is doing and so into her business. She's got books for you to read. She's got several services, whether you're looking to start a business or you need graphic design, business cards, a website built, labels for your products, whatever the case may be. She is able and willing and capable of assisting you with that. So thank you again, Monique, for being on with us today. And I encourage each and every listener to continue to practice freedom. Thank you all, and have a wonderful night.